Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 as we continue to systematically go through God's Word. And this morning we're going to revisit a very special, a very beautiful encounter that anybody can have with God. And that is Mary. Her encounter with Gabriel and what God's going to do, the process of starting of our salvation, the salvation of Israel and the Messiah, and it's just and so much in there. And I know a month ago when I left to China, we weren't able to continue. And so I feel like the Lord is speaking to me, revisit verse 26, because we did get through that like 5 weeks ago. But we need to bring it into remembrance. And we before we left for China, we were looking at the supernatural conception of John. And you know, when you think about it, what was so supernatural of it is the fact that Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were way beyond age, could even have a child, and they had it naturally. It was totally different than Christ. Christ was conceived through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. John was born through Zacharias and Elizabeth being intimate. Yikes, right? I mean, we're talking way above. And the fact that the angel came to them, I mean, this was a very awesome conception there, but nothing compared to, and if John was conceived that way, how much more is Jesus going to be? It's not going to be equal. It's going to be greater. Jesus' birth and his the angel Gabriel coming is going to be greater than John's. In fact, John said he had to decrease. Remember, as we're going to see later on, he said, I have to decrease so Jesus can increase. And I think that's why we're here, because we're here to increase. Every Sunday morning, when we come in here, we increase so that Jesus can increase. And when we leave here, we leave with that. We don't go back to him decreasing and us increasing. We leave here differently. So let's look at verse 26 as we revisit and go back to in remembrance. And I think that, you know, whenever we hear the scriptures over and over, it's because God wants to say something to us. God wants us to revisit what we're being taught, because I hear the Word of God over and over, different chapters. I mean, we've been through the personally read the whole Bible more than once, and every time I read, I always get something different out of it, because it's more than just a book. It's the Word of God. It's Christ, and so it's very unique. So verse 26, let's look at it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and bless us now as we revisit this encounter with Mary. We're talking a teenage girl, Lord, one who loved you. And may we learn from her examples, Lord, that as we speak about her and this encounter that she will have and the start of the Messiah coming and salvation, Lord, may we learn from her example, Lord. Being old, I know sometimes those older folks feel like, what can someone younger teach me? But Lord, may we learn from those who are younger than us, Lord. And in fact, your word tells us that a child shall lead them. You tell us that we have to be as a child in order to get into heaven, that total dependence upon you, Lord, that the kingdom of heaven was made for a child. And so, Lord, may we never, never be unteachable. May we never have the attitude of what can I learn from him, or I didn't learn anything from that person. May we always come with a mind and a heart open to learn or to be reminded. May we never forget that you always, it tells us that the Holy Spirit will bring into remembrance the word in times that we need it. So may we never discount the fact that when we hear something over and over again, it's because God wants to bring something into remembrance. So remind us this morning of what you want to say for us, Lord. And we give you glory and honor, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin who was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So once again, and I mentioned this like 5 weeks ago, here we have the angel Gabriel sent by God. And this was his second missionary journey. It's like he was a missionary. He was doing a short-term missions trip. And he had this message that came from God himself in regards to the birth of the Messiah, of Jesus of Nazareth. And remember, the first missions trip of Gabriel was the time when he came to Zechariah and how he appeared. Now he's appearing to Mary after Elizabeth had been pregnant for 6 months, because as he's talking in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, he comes to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. And again, I mentioned how Nazareth wasn't a very highly looked upon city, and the residents of that area, they didn't really look upon them as like they should have. Even the Romans didn't consider Nazareth a great. I think if you can use any word in today's text, it would be ghetto. You know, it's one of those cities that was on the border of the Gentile nations. And so, a lot of Jews and the Romans, they just looked at it as a place that nothing good could come out of it. In fact, when Jesus came on the scene and when he came to Philip and he told Philip, follow me, and he came to Andrew and Peter and Philip, he immediately ran to Nathanael and said, hey, I found him who Moses was talking about, who the law was talking about, who the prophets wrote about. I found the Messiah, it's Jesus of Nazareth. The first thing Nathanael said was, hey, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was like, you know, he's supposed to come out of La Jolla. He's not supposed to come out of Broadway Heights, you know, or he's supposed to come out of Del Mar. You know, it's like his old attitude, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip had to say, you know, hey, you know what? Just come and see for yourself. So you can imagine how they felt about Nazareth. But I want you to notice one thing in verse 26. This is what I want to bring into remembrance, is that God is no respect to person or places. And I love that the Lord sent Gabriel not only to the holy city of Jerusalem, to the temple, to the place where no one can enter in. It was the most holiest, sacred place, the holy of holies, that the Lord sent Gabriel to Jerusalem, and to the high priest Zacharias, to a man, a godly man, a man who was a teacher of the law, a man who was represented God to the people. As well as he sent Gabriel to Nazareth to a teenager girl who was a virgin. God is no respect to person. And that's actually a fulfillment of 2 Chronicles 16, where he says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. Because God's not looking at the way we look. Right? God doesn't look at the outside appearance of a man. God looks at the heart. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter your status. It doesn't matter where you live or what you do. The Lord is just looking for those whose hearts are in perfect harmony with him. That's what he wants. With him. Those who are depending on the Lord and not on themselves. Not regardless if you're a high priest or if you're just a teenage girl. God has no respect to person. And he will use you just as much as he would use me as the pastor of the church. It doesn't matter. It's just a title. I never go around saying I'm the senior pastor. I don't even like that. And I learned that from Mike McIntosh. When I went in for the very first time and was recognized as the head pastor here, he said, okay, I now dub you as senior pastor, whatever that means, he said, whatever that means. Of North Park Christian Fellowship, I think, yeah, right. What does it mean? It means I'm an old pastor, right, senior? I don't want to be, I know I'm an old pastor, you know, senior pastor. No, I'm just a pastor. I'm considered the head pastor, but I'm just a pastor. And God will use me just as much as he will use you. You guys, you actually do the work of a pastor. You just don't have the title. Who cares about a title? You don't need a title to go and share the gospel. You don't need a title to open the Bible and share a Bible study or preach out in the streets. Anybody who gets caught up in a title, most of the time, you don't even do the work of that title. You're not even doing the work. If your focus is in a title, a lot of times, you're just a title. But God can use anybody. He's not a respect a person. And you know, I always say, every time somebody asks me, hey, Pastor Steve, how you doing? I'm always saying, well, better than some and worse than others, you know. And it covers my, what I'm saying is it covers my whole life. But you might be in a tough time. There might be, you know, you might be tough, you know, and you might be well-versed in the scriptures. You might be very mature in the Lord. But trust me, there will always be someone more tougher than you. Doesn't matter how well you think you are, there's always someone who's tougher. You know, and I always think about that, you know. It's okay, there's always someone who will be better than me to come up here. Look at these guys who've been teaching the Word of God for years, over 40 years. They're amazing. But I found out that how important it is not to compare yourself with somebody else, because it only brings disappointment. And don't ever think you're more highly than someone else, because that will only bring pride in your life. Just be yourself. Like Mike told me, he said, be yourself and let God be himself in you. Because God made you who you are. And there is no one just like you. Nobody. Even creation proved that. You know, no one has the same fingerprints that you have. That's God. Of all the people, everything that breathes, there's something in there that makes them different. Think about it. Your fingerprints, nobody has that. Of all the billions of people on this earth, you have one set of fingerprints, and there's nothing. I mean, how can someone say there's no God? Look at that. That's God. You know, people say, hey, you know what? We do kind of see people who kind of looks like you, you know. And we play that game. Oh, look at, there's this person because it looks like you. I was in Costco and some guy come up and said, has anybody ever told you that you look like that guy on that TV show where the guys, they go and they find junkyards and they buy the stuff. They're friends. And one's a short Mexican. He's like a Mexican fat, chunky guy. What's the name of that show? You guys know what I'm talking about? American Pickers. And he told me that. He said, anybody ever tell you that you look like that guy, American Pickers, the short guy, the chunky guy? And I said, has anybody ever told you you look like Superfly? I told him that. You know, I said, he goes, oh, no one has. You know? But you know what? God made us who we are. And who you are is only by the grace of God. Paul said, it's only by the grace of God I am what I am. You weren't called to be somebody else. You were called to be like Jesus. And so in verse 27, look what it says. He says, and to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So verse 27 tells us that, you know, Mary was a pure teenage girl. That word virgin in the Greek, it means parthenios, which means that she has never been touched by a man immorally. And she even confirms that herself in verse 34 of this chapter when she says, how can this be since I have not known a man? So Mary, she was engaged to Joseph here in verse 27. And being engaged back then was a very binding commitment. And this commitment, it would last for a whole year of being engaged. And a lot of times they were often made by the fathers. They would come together and they had a son and they had a daughter. They would come together and they would make this arrangement between the fathers and say, hey, I'll give my son to your daughter and you give your daughter to my son. And both parties will make these mutual promises of commitment to one another. And then after a year, the bridegroom would often go to his bride at a time when she least expects it and takes her and then go gets married. Doesn't that remind you of something? Doesn't that remind you of our bridegroom Christ? When the rapture comes, is exactly what's going to happen. In a time you least expect it, Jesus is going to come back for his bride. And he's going to take his bride and we are going to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be awesome. It could come right now. You got you scared, huh? You thought, oh, where did he go? Did it happen? I guess I'm, see, if I was younger, you, flash, brother, flash. But I'm older, so it's like slow-mo. Yeah. But anyways, so like Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, they had to be both godly and in right standings with God. The Lord chose them to be the parents of his son. Think of that high calling there. And we know that it was impossible that God would have chosen an evil and immoral man or woman to bear the Messiah. So they had to be in right standings with God. Mary, to raise up God's only begotten son, they both needed to live a right life with the Lord and with each other. And so here we is where those of you, you know, and I encourage you guys last time, more than five weeks ago, those of you who are not married, to stay pure in your life. God expects you to stay sexually pure. Don't be fornicating. Don't have sex until you're married, because God wants to use men and women who are pure and who are committed. God's looking for us. He's looking for men and women to be used in the ministry of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. So whether you're married or not, we are engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are under this obligation of faithfulness. God expects us to be faithful. In fact, read Malachi chapter 6 if you want to know what God requires of you. I'm not going to share it, but you can read it yourself and you'll see what God requires of you. So as the church here, Jesus has become our personal Savior. He has given us eternal life. So Jesus has become our bridegroom and the church has become the bride. Just as Mary and Joseph were committed to be engaged, this engagement period of being separated and pure until the wedding day, that's exactly how we are with right now with Christ. The day's coming, though. He's coming. My husband's coming. Now, I only say that in the Bible text, in the context with the Word of God. I'm a bride. I'm a beautiful bride. I mean, according to Jesus, you know, he looks at me as a beautiful bride. But I tell you, in my own eyes, oh, it's an ugly-looking bride, you know. And one day he's coming for me, and I'm going to be with my Lord and Savior for eternity. So I want to remind you two very important scriptures that are meant for the bride, the body of Christ, for you and me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 11 through 17, where Paul says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And if you don't, I will dwell with you and walk with you. I will be your God and you will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not to be examples out there and not to and say, stay away from me. No, we be hypocrites. It means don't do what they do. Jesus said, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. In fact, he says, you need to go out there with them. We need to be in their midst, but we need to be the example. We need to be a light. We need to let them see Jesus in us. I mean, I've shared this many times with you guys when I was sitting at a table at my brother's wedding, and this guy was drinking. He said, so tell me, what do pastors do to have fun? I said, I do what you do, but sober. You know, we're to be in their midst, but we're not to be involved in what they do. We need to be involved with the Lord. Think about the Lord. Every time, who did he hang out with? He hung out with sinners. He hung out with prostitutes. He hung out with tax collectors. And they said, hey, man, if he knew who this lady was, then he wouldn't let her touch him. And he looked up and says, I know who she is. But the Son of Man came to those who are sick. He didn't come for the well, the sick who needs a doctor, not the well. And so another one is 1 John chapter 2:15, where again, John, he says, don't love the world and the things of the world. Well, you know, it's not like you can't love the world. I love certain foods in the world, and I love doing certain things in the world, but I don't agape them. He's talking about agape love. You don't love the world like you love God, do you? Do you go around and you worship food like you worship God? Oh, thank you for my enchilada plate. No, you don't sacrifice unto your food like you would sacrifice praise and worship to the world. This is what he's talking about. Because of why? Because all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So you can't ride the fence. You can't live for God and live for the world. It doesn't work. You're either going to love one or you're going to love the other, Jesus said. You can't love mammoth and God, you know, you can't do it. It doesn't work. So this is how the bride can stay faithful till the bridegroom comes for his bride. Amen? Look at verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, which is Gabriel, to Mary, said, "Rejoice, highly favorite one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." I mean, these are very, very encouraging words. What a very encouraging experience to have with the Lord. Look at what the Lord wanted Mary to know through Gabriel. He says, not only does the Lord want Gabriel to share this with Mary to know it, but I really believe that these words that are the words that the Lord also wants us to know as well. We need to embed this within our hearts. I want you to look at three encouragements that were spoken to Mary that the Lord felt that she needed to know just as much as we need to know as well. And I told you 5 weeks ago to highlight them, so make sure they're high. If you didn't do it now. Underline it. Make sure the person next to you has it underlined. Verse 28, look what he says. There's three encouraging words. And that are statements here. And one is, in verse 28, Gabriel says to Mary, that you are highly favorite one. Underline it. The second one is that the Lord is with you. Underline it. And the third, you are blessed among women. Those are very simple and yet very meaningful things that were said about Mary. And they are very encouraging to us as well. Mary was going to be highly favored by God. But she was not told why as of yet. And if you think about it, maybe the Lord is giving Mary time, to adjust what was going on with the angel Gabriel standing. Think about it. What if you were just going about your business? We don't know what Mary was doing at this time. It wasn't like she was inside church. Maybe she was in the synagogue. Maybe she was having this worship time with the Lord. Maybe she was just being about, you know, her duties and maybe going to get a pitcher of water. Who knows what she was doing? Obviously, she was by herself, and Gabriel did visit her, but he didn't tell her just as yet what was going to take place. Because maybe she just needed some time to adjust to what was going on. The angel Gabriel was standing before her. Think about it. What if you were just sitting outside the pump? What if you're in your bedroom, yeah, and you're just laying there thinking, all of a sudden, bam, you see this man standing next to your bed. How would you feel about that? I know I probably would have grabbed my, you know, or scream, who knows? You know, Mary's just about her business, and here's Gabriel standing in front, she needs time to adjust what's going on with this angel Gabriel standing before her. It just tells us, you know, God knows exactly how much we can handle at that time. God knows what you can handle. And she's just about to be told that what? She's pregnant. And it will happen before she even gets married. Think about that. And it's going to happen through the Holy Spirit. And Joseph's not even going to be the father. This would be not just some ordinary conception. Jesus is not going to be an ordinary child. It's not going to be an ordinary birth. That she's carrying the Son of God. She's carrying God himself. And that she would be the mother of the Messiah. Now, tell me that's not a lot to handle at one time. And we're talking a teenage girl, okay? We're talking it's like fathers and mothers, your teenage daughters, 16, 17-year-olds, and all of a sudden, bam, this angel stands and tells us all these things. Can you imagine what's going to go through her mind? But for now, he just tells her, you know what, Mary? I just want you to know you're favored by God. What a great honor and privilege to know that God favors her, highly favors her. And that word highly favored in the Greek, it means that she was full of grace that can only come from God. And I really believe that what Gabriel told Mary was true for Mary as much as it is true for us as well. Because we truly are highly favored by God as well. Just as Mary was highly favored, we are highly favored. She was full of grace. We are full of grace. She was blessed by God. We're blessed by God. The Lord was with her. The Lord is with us. And she was carrying the Son of God. Well, guess what? We have the Son of God in our hearts. It was physically for her. She was physically carrying the Son of God. For us, it's spiritually. We carry God in our hearts, the Son of God in our hearts spiritually. So we, in a sense, share with Mary. What Mary had and what Mary was going through, guess what? We go through it the same, but spiritually. Isn't that awesome? Don't ever forget that. Don't ever think that God, when he says you are highly favored by God, that you're not highly favored. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6, Paul tells us, he says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places of Christ, just as he chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love." Before the world existed. Doesn't that tell you that you're highly accepted? That you are highly favored by God when he says, "I knew you before the world even existed." I can't comprehend that. You know, when I think of that, God, if you knew me before I even existed, could you have just changed me just a little bit? You know, couldn't you just made me 6'5" or something, you know? And, you know, I mean, I used to be a bodybuilder. Now I'm an undercover bodybuilder, Lord, you know? He says that he has chose us. He chose us in him. And he had predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Guys, the Lord is always with us. Didn't Jesus not say, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age"? Whatever that age may be, whatever your age may be, I mean, I'm going to be 60 in November. And if I used to tell my wife all the time, and she used to get mad at me, I said, "Well, I'm never going to meet 40. 40 came. I'm not going to make it till 50, at 50, 50 came. I'm not going to make it 60. You know, whatever that age may be, Jesus said, "I will be with you till the end of this life." But this is when, that's when it starts in that life. So bottom line, he's just not going to never abandon us. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13 tells us, Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Aren't you not blessed? We are blessed. You go with us to China and you'll see how much you'll be blessed. You go with us when we go build a house in Mexico and you will see how much you are blessed. We are blessed by God, and there'll be the time when we stand in heaven and God will show. I love that story of that man who went to heaven and Peter took him in this large room and all these boxes everywhere. And he says, "What are these boxes?" I said, "They all have names on them." And Peter says, "Go find your box." And he found his box. He opened it up and he says, "What is all this?" And he said, "These are all the blessings that the Lord wanted to bestow upon you, and yet he couldn't." You're going to see all the blessings that God wanted to give you, you know, and he couldn't for whatever reason, but you're blessed. John chapter 20, Jesus said to Thomas, remember, they told Thomas, "Hey, we saw the Messiah, we saw Jesus. I ain't going to believe it until I see it." Believing is seeing, not, you know, and so Jesus, when he was in the room, Thomas was there, and Jesus said, "Hey, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen me yet believe." Isn't that great? Blessed are those who have not yet seen me, but believe. Because why? Believing is seeing for us. Not seeing. I used to be seeing as believing. Now, believing is seeing. I believe, therefore, I'm seeing a lot of things. And then Jeremiah 29:11, again, you guys know the thoughts that the Lord thinks of you. He says his thoughts, they're thoughts of peace. They're not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that being blessed? And then in verse 28, it tells us that Mary was what? Mary, you're blessed among, blessed are you among women. Mary was blessed. And you know, again, you know, many believe that she was around 15 or 16 years old when Gabriel came to her. Well, whatever age, she was a teenager, she was young. And back then, pretty much that was the age that the fathers would give their daughters to engagement. Plus the fact that she was a very godly woman who had a heart for God. She was given grace by God. She was chosen of all the women at that time to bear the Son of God, the Messiah. Man, that's amazing. And back then, many women, I read and you probably can find it in the book of Josephus, but many women would claim that they're having the Messiah. So what the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what they would do is they would send somebody out to, okay, investigate this claim. And they would go and they had this test that they would do to see, first of all, if this person was a virgin. And a lot of times they would find that, you know what, this is not the case. And back then, Jesus was a very common name. So it's not like Jesus' name was the only name Jesus, okay? Many would call their sons Jesus. But here, Mary, she was blessed among all women. But ladies, you know what? I do want to encourage you that this morning, that again, be encouraged. As you read about Mary, it tells you that she was blessed among you women, not above you women. Don't think that, you know, wow, she's above me. I can't even fill her shoes. No, she's blessed among you. She's not greater than she was blessed because God picked her and chose her to have the child, though. And nowhere in the Word of God does it tell us that she is to be worshipped or acknowledged as a redemptor for salvation. You don't read that nowhere in the Bible. She was acknowledged as being blessed by the Lord, but she was only a woman. Even the angels said, hey, you know, when the angels came, often and you read in the scriptures, people went and they bowed down before them. They said, hey, don't bow before us. We're just angels. Bow only to God. Even the apostles, when they bowed before Paul, and they said, hey, don't bow before us. We're just men. And what I personally like about Mary's relationship with the Lord, and I shared this 5 weeks ago, listen. When you think about this mother and child relationship that she had with Jesus, I can't wait to see how it was, how she bathed him. You know, was he obedient? Hey, you know, get in there and take a shower and make sure you turn the water on. You know, and how she bathed, how she fed him, how she took care of him like any mother would care for her child. He was her baby. And then when she was standing at the foot of the cross, she was looking up at her son, and she finally realized that he was no longer her son, but my God. That is so amazing. That was her son on the cross. And when she went up there, my God, he was no longer a son. He was her God. And like Mary, God does favor us as well. He saves us. He uses us. And because why? We are favored by God. But what comes with that, guys, is a greater responsibility and privilege to make ourselves what? Available to receive his blessings. And it's the blessings. It's just a blessing to know that he's watching over us. He watched over us in our past. He's watching over us in our present. And he's going to be with us in the future. He's got it all. Why? Because Jesus is the same what? Yeah, yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Hey, he was with me in my past. You know how many times I was almost killed? I can count 3 times. And I did not know Jesus. And if I would have been killed, I would have went to hell. But for such a time as this, I can only say this is why God didn't allow it. Why? Because he was looking after me in my past. He's looking at me, over me in my present and in the future. Past, present, and future are in his hands. Not all states. You see that commercial? You're in good hands with all states. That, no, we're in good hands in Christ. And God promised to walk with us through life here on the earth, and through all eternity, guys. But look at verse 29. And she says, but when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and she considered what manner of greeting this was. You know, Mary, she was troubled. Why? Because she was just human. She was shocked to hear such words of great honor, and the fact that the angel told her that she was highly favored and that the Lord was with her and that she was blessed among women. And I mean, this encounter would cause anyone to be troubled. I mean, if you think about it, we're talking Mary was truly walking in humility. And if God came, if the angel came to you guys and said all these things, can you imagine how you would react? Especially knowing that you're a sinner? Man, why are you coming? God, you coming to me? I'm the worst. Paul, look at Paul. He said, hey, I'm the chief of all sinners. And when I first read that, I thought, if Paul's the chief of all sinners, I must be the president of all sinners. You know, that's how I feel. But I'm sure like all of us, Mary was troubled. Why? Because she did not understand how God could so greatly favor a young person like herself. She wasn't anybody great. She was humble. She was not into herself. Too many of us get into ourselves. Look at me, what I know. Look at me, what I can do. We walk around like a Pharisee. She wasn't like that. She probably didn't feel like she deserved it, but she loved God and lived a determined life to stay pure and responsible to God as a teenager. How many teenagers do you find like that? It's a blessing when you see teenagers walking with the Lord. It's a blessing to see teenagers doing works for God. When we go to China, sometimes teenagers come and they are crossing Bibles into China. It's a blessing. And like Mary, since Christ has come into us, every one of us can now know that we are highly favored by God, that the Lord's presence is with us, and we are blessed among others. I can say honestly, I am blessed. I'm more blessed than that person out there that's doing evil. I walked up this morning. I don't know if you've seen it, but somebody tagged this building. I'm talking really big in front of the building. And the first thing I did was sin. I committed murder. And I was so mad. I was like, I can't stand. I hate that with a passion. And I'm like, oh, God. I even said to the Lord, just give me 1 hour with this guy. 1 hour. And I wasn't thinking in the spiritual sense. I'm thinking in the physical sense. And then we get in the prayer room. Then that's when, again, Jesus steps in the gap. And I say, Lord, save this man. Save this person. I hate that with the passion when they do that. You know, but yet, you know, God's in control. You know, God, I'm still highly favored by God. God knows my weakness. He knows your weakness and strengths. And be careful, because sometimes you're posting those weaknesses on social media. People also know it. Don't think they don't know you. Don't think when you go on social media and you post things that are just not of God, obviously, that if you said, would Jesus do this? You know he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't even be around it. And you're posting it, others are viewing that as well. Your life, you're putting it out there. I got rid of Instagram because I got hacked and somebody was impersonating me with others trying to get information. I said, that's it. I'm done with social media. I don't want nothing to do with Facebook. I don't want nothing to do with Instagram. I'm going to stay with Morse code. So remember, if you hear this, that's me trying to talk to you, okay? All right. Look at verse 30. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. So Mary was told by the angel how, you know, she would be favored by God, that she would bear a son and be the mother of the Messiah. So you can imagine how that felt. Remember when you first accepted the Lord, how you felt? That first love, passionate encounter with Christ in your life was changed. It was in bed. It was like, wow, I couldn't understand it. It was like that time me and Carmen went to one of our first Bible study from a Pentecostal church, and they were all speaking Spanish. It was a Spanish Pentecostal Bible study in Balboa Park. I don't know any Spanish. I know Spanglish. And we're sitting there, and they were actually all worshiping in tongues and worshiping and praising God. And I was there, and I had my hands up, and the Holy Spirit came upon us. Even though I didn't understand it, man, I felt the presence and the power of God. And then we drove off and we went to the park as usual. We sat there and we just said, what just happened? We had no clue what happened. But it was amazing. It was amazing. So you can imagine how Mary's feeling when she sees, we're talking an angel, guys. She knew it was an angel. This is not an ordinary man. To say that you're going to bear the son, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. And I want you to notice three great, important, profound things that are mentioned about the son that Mary was going to carry. Look at verse 31. The first thing he mentions that your son, Mary, he says this, it's his name. He says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be called Jesus. And just like John, guys, it was God who named him. Mary didn't name him. If Mary had to name him, it probably would have been Joseph. Maybe it wasn't even his child. It could have been something else. Maybe after the father. And don't we do that? Often we have a child. Well, actually, you ladies have a child. You name him after the father. Or you're going to name him after the grandparent. If it's a girl, you name him after the father, but with a girl's name. Well, God named him. God had to name him. There's sometimes God has to be the one that has to make that decision because sometimes we'll make the wrong decision. And so his name was going to be Jesus. And Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua or Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. And he says, Mary, his name is going to be great. It's going to be above any other name. Paul said that in Acts chapter 4. He says, there is no salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You're not going to be saved under my name. You're not going to be saved under someone who's mighty in the Lord. It's under the name of Jesus that we are saved. But it's also important to see that we see Gabriel here. What is he focusing? What's the focus on here in these verses? It's on the son, it's not Mary. He's not talking about Mary, he's talking about the son. Now, how in the world can anyone put their focus on Mary as one who's supposed to be worshipped? It's beyond me. As if she's the one that's going to be great. She's the one that's going to sit on the throne of David. She's the one whose kingdom will last forever. Guys, it's not about the birth, it's about the conception. It's about how he was conceived. Mary gave birth to Jesus like no other woman would give birth. But not only any other woman will conceive a baby just like Mary did. So how can anybody put Mary before the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know how to get it. It's about, he takes his focus off of Mary and he's putting it on the child. Look at verse 31 and 33. Look at verse 31 because Gabriel takes the focus off Mary. He puts it on Jesus. He says, hey, Mary, you're going to conceive and you're going to bring forth a son. And that's it. He stops and he says, and he's going to be called Jesus. He'll be great. And he'll be called Son of the Highest. And God will give him the throne of his father, David, not Mary. 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. It's about Jesus and not Mary here. And how some got the worship of Mary out of the gospel is beyond me. But though, you know what? I was kind of raised that way because I did come from the Catholic faith. and very common in the Spanish families. And we, our model was, and probably some of you too, you know, I was born a Catholic, I will die a Catholic. And this was always pushed down by my father. This is what he would tell us. And it wasn't until I met Jesus Christ on the road of my Damascus that that all changed. And I realized who truly was the Father, not the priest, because we all used to call him Father. And one day he came to the house and we were all lined up to greet him. And he walked by and everybody's Father, Father, and you know that respect. And when I shook his hands, I said, how you doing, Mr. Sims? And I got persecuted for that. His look on his face, if he could throw lightning bolts, I would have been zapped. And my mom and dad, they got after me. Hey, you're disrespecting the Father. And I said, Mom, the Bible says, call no man Father but the Heavenly Father. And that was when I first got saved. And I had a man at the North Park Car Wash that kept calling me Father. And I said, I'm not a father, I'm a pastor. I'm not a father, I'm a pastor. And I used to witness to him all the time. And he knew I would go to China. And then last year, I was going to China. I said, Father, you going to the China? And finally, I just said, got to the point, just let it be. Lord, you know my heart. I said, yeah, I'm going to China. He says, can you bring me, remember I told the story? Can you bring me a $1 bill in Chinese? Yeah, no problem. You got it. Came back 3 weeks later and, hey, where is Jose? Oh, didn't you hear? Hear what? He's dead. What? His son killed him, stabbed him 21 times. I was devastated. I was shocked. I'm standing with this dollar bill. And today, I keep this dollar bill in my Bible. I don't get rid of it. I got it here somewhere. I know it's here. It's here. Let me see if I can find it. I can show you. As a means of letting me know that we never know when something can happen to us. We don't know. And how important it is to share God, share the Bible with those who don't know the Lord. It's so important. You know, and so I know it's here because I got it here. I just can't seem to find it. Yeah, come on. I wanted to show you because this dollar here is very special. Let me try it this way. There we go. I don't know how this, Carmen, I don't know how this pink paperclip got in here. No. Look, here it is. This dollar bill, I was going to put it in his hands and came back and found out he was murdered. So now I keep it here as a reminder that, you know what? Oh, life is short and we are blessed by God. But again, it's about Jesus and not Mary. It's about Jesus. And don't get me wrong, Mary was blessed. She was highly favored by God, but so am I. And I don't see anybody worshiping me except for my wife. She, you know, and she does call me Lord, you know, my Lord, but little Al, you know, no. Since I said, call me Lord, little Al, yeah, right, that'll be the day. Yeah. It's about Jesus. He's the reason why the angel came to Mary, and the focus is totally upon him and him alone. But we don't know. We do know that Mary was a young woman who knew the word. She knew the word. She was a student of the word, and she was a teenager. And she knew exactly what Gabriel was talking about when he said, you're going to bear a son. She knew that he was quoting from Isaiah 7:14, where it says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You know, she knew this. And secondly, the important fact about what's going on here is his person. Look at verse 32. It says, he will be called the Son of the Highest. Hey, guys, he was to be called Son of the Highest. And we all know that the highest is God and there's nobody higher than him, right? Right? Am I right? Ain't no one higher than God. And you can read it in the Old Testament. Nimrod, who wanted to build this tower, big giant tower to lead to heaven, to be higher up there with God. And well, you know, remember what happened to that story if you never read the Tower of Babel. God came down and he fixed that right really fast. He zapped them all and that's where the Mexicans came from. Everybody started speaking different languages, right? Even Spanglish. I believe Spanglish was there. You know? And then, of course, Satan, right? Remember Satan wanted to be God, wanted to be like God. What happened to him? Boom, got kicked out of heaven, right? You know what? So this verse makes us, tells us that Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus would be equal to God. And there is no other reason why. And actually, that was another reason why the Pharisees wanted to kill him, because Jesus was the very nature of God. He was God himself. Romans 9:5. I'm going to end it right here because I went over. Christ came, who is over all, the eternal, blessed God. Amen. And I'm going to leave you with what Spurgeon says, because this is a very awesome, profound quote here. Spurgeon, you guys knew Spurgeon, old, very old Bible scholar. And he said, no one has influenced history more than Jesus Christ. Is it not proven that he is great? Conquerors are great, and he's the greatest of them. Deliverers are great, and he's the greatest of them. Liberators are great, and he is the greatest of them. Saviors are great, and he is the greatest of them. So what is Spurgeon saying about Jesus? He's great, right? Bottom line, he's great. And no one has done more for you and me than Jesus Christ. Amen. And especially when things matter, he has done more than anyone else has done or could ever do. Amen.